Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, March 28th. Tonight we're going to have a kind of a different kind of a session here. I'm going to introduce one of my friends who has been doing some taping. This is Joe Schmo, and I'm going to let him come right on right now. I don't want to waste any time on this one.
This is tape 5 of Alien Contact, The Cover-Up, audio cassette series. In tape 1, we introduced the underground base scenario. In tape 2, we brought you the informers, the men with direct knowledge about the alleged deal our government made with an alien nation. This deal, they charge, exchanges human lives for technology. In tape 3, we discussed the cattle and human mutilations as they relate to aliens. In tape 4, the abductions and implants occurring across the United States. And in tape 5, let's discuss the conclusions from these implications. What can we decide all this means? What can we do? What should we do? Well, first, let's define the issues. A series of credible informers claim that on April 25, 1964, an extraterrestrial craft landed at Holloman Air Force Base, offering us new technology in space weaponry and space travel if we agreed to allow these aliens a secret underground base in the United States. It would be jointly occupied with U.S. military personnel and this alien species. We were also to allow the abduction and implantation of American citizens with biological monitoring and/or controlling devices. First, is such a scenario conceivable? We talked to former military officers who served in the Army, Navy, and Air Force. Their ranks were from sergeant to colonel, and we asked them all three questions. First question. Based on your years of dedicated service in the military and based on your life experience in understanding how the military functions and operates, in your opinion, hypothetically, if an alien spacecraft came down and landed at a government military base and aliens got out and shook hands with military officers, would our government make an announcement to the American people and the world that extraterrestrial life exists?
Absolutely not. I don't believe they'd make an announcement immediately, and I don't think they'd make an announcement soon afterwards. I think that they'd feel impelled to get more information first. And they have to know where they're coming from and how they can control them before they can release any information to anybody outside of the interested agency. No, I don't think the government would release anything. I don't think they would publish anything. I don't think they would take anybody in but high-level scientists that could help them study the problem. And of course, all of those men would be sworn under the same kind of security oath and would be monitored from then on.
No. This information really above any other classified information that there is. In fact, it's the highest classification, security classification in the nation. And we have agreed to keep this a secret, and I'm sure they will do it again.
No, I don't think so. Because if we believe the evidence and the reports that have already been made by reputable people, like the astronaut, Jordan Cooper, a UFO landed at a U.S. air base a few years ago, sat on the runway for 45 minutes, and was filmed by the technicians on that base. The UFO took off, flew away, the film was taken out of the cameras, flown to Washington. The people who were there, the commander of the base, Gordon Cooper, never saw the film again after. But he was there and he saw what happened. No report was made. The film was never released. No, I don't think that they would release that information.
I can answer that very simply. No, they would not make such a statement. I spent 4 years in the United States Air Force. I was in the Air Force Security Service, which was directly under the National Security Agency. I had a top secret cryptoclearance at the time. I was involved in electronic intelligence. And I can tell you from my own field for what was going on with such an intelligence operation. If such craft landed at that particular military facility, there would be a security cover on it immediately. And we would be ordered not to talk about it to the local population.
Absolutely not.
Question number two. If such an alien craft did land at a government military installation, is there something we might want from them?
In the war game, after World War II, with computers, we quickly discovered that the new technological breakthrough made a bigger thing in favor of the one who achieved this. And we almost always won the war in the war game. So, one objective would be to try to get some kind of a technological advantage over any potential enemy. And of course, this is dangerous for us and for the enemy because he's got to be worried about the same thing. He doesn't want us to get technological superiority over him by any means either, especially as a company.
Militarily speaking, we would want weapons information. We would want technology. This is one of the reasons why we and the Soviets have been playing cat and mouse with each other for almost 40 years on the phenomenon. Both the Soviets and the American government hoped to be able to get an inside track on the propulsion system. We knew this when I was at SHIP headquarters. However, can duplicate this propulsion system, which appears to be something like an electromagnetic data drive device. If the Soviets or us ever get a handle on that, it boggles my mind to think what might happen.
I would think that we would first of all be interested in whether this type of ship or craft had any offensive weapons or defenses, and we would be interested in, especially stealth type technology, beam weapons, cloaking devices. We would be interested in their means of acquiring intelligence information. That's just something people don't usually bring out. Okay, for instance, recording, implanting of humans by aliens, imprints, and also remote control devices that they used as monitoring or scanning craft indicates that they have methods of collecting intelligence on us, probably far superior to our methods of collecting intelligence. So, especially if they have any mind reading devices, which my personal experience is they do have, then we would very much be interested in all of that technology.
Well, of course, our government wants to learn technology. How do we conquer, and how do we advance in space?
And question three. In your opinion, from having served years in the military, if such a landing occurred, and the aliens said we could have new technology in space weaponry and space travel, if we allowed them a secret underground base of operations in the United States and permission to abduct and implant American citizens with biological monitoring devices, would the people in charge make such a deal?
Definitely. There would be other things with that technology. There have been involved in billions of dollars that spend on research for a very small step forward. And also research that may not even pay off. And if an offer were to be made, if it were ever made, I would think that the government would jump at the opportunity to gain some technological advantage from it, and that they would see all kinds of possibilities. I don't think there'd be any doubt that they wouldn't go for the plan.
We all knew that we don't have the agreement that was mentioned in the aliens between the United States government. And as that the aliens are playing trust technology in exchange, we will keep their presence on Earth a secret. We would rather have to be on their affairs. They would help us.
and then you allow them to abduct animals and humans on supposedly very limited random basis, and what we told the government at that time, and the government, by the way, did this originally with all the best intentions at heart, did it backfire on them. What they told the government originally was that this would just strictly going to be medical examinations and the people and the animals would not be harmed. And only over the years we have found that this is not true, and why is it not true?
Give us a good cause,
100,000 kilos. The situation is that these creatures are coming here, and they are giving us the means to carry out more of our fellow man, more efficient than what we can do it right now. This is not a good sign. They come here and they give us this technology, and we think that it is great technology. It's more sophisticated than anything else we have. But you have to stop and think. They're not going to give us their most advanced technology. We don't do that. When we sell modern fighter aircraft to our allies, the stuff that is very super sensitive. Let's say that we have an ally that we trust and we don't have top secret features on it. But we don't have that, but the stuff that's top secret on it, forget it. They're not doing that. We let them have stuff that will put them on par with anything that, say, the opposition, in this case the Soviet Union, might be able to pick up against it. But the stuff that's going to give us the fighting edge in any future battlefield, they're not going to get. The aliens are going to do the same thing with us. They are not going to give us their utmost technology. And the situation is when somebody comes here, and if this be the case, and I think it is, they give us weapon systems. I don't mean that. My M16 is very proficient. We don't need more ways on how to kill a fellow man. Now, if they come here and say, okay, we're going to help you in draft, we're going to help you in battle, then we can talk. But we should be very, very concerned and very worried about an advanced entity coming here wanting to give us technology on how to more efficiently destroy our fellow man.
And what will we do, in my opinion?
We conducted man-on-the-street interviews to get the opinions of average, everyday, all-American citizens. And in 20 interviews, 20 in a row, we got the identical answers that we just got from knowledgeable military officers. So, what can we conclude from this? Well, we can conclude that based on the small sampling of public opinion that we did, as well as the knowledgeable military officers, that it is conceivable we could have made such a deal, selling out our fellow man in exchange for new technology. Next, let's define the informers. Who is saying what? We begin with John Lehr, a captain for a major U.S. airline who has flown over 160 types of aircraft in 50 different countries. He holds 17 world speed records in the Learjet and is the only pilot to hold every airline certificate issued by the Federal Aviation Administration. John Lehr has flown missions worldwide for the CIA and other government agencies. He's a former Nevada State Senate candidate. He's also the son of William P. Lehr, the designer of the Learjet executive airplane, the 8-track stereo, and the founder of the Lehr-Ziegler Corporation.
What physically are the aliens doing to us now and over the next 2 years that is a threat to our everyday life as we know it?
They will continue their implants. In 1972, they had implanted one in every 40 human beings. It's my estimation now, based on the information that I have been able to come up with in the last 18 months, that it's one in every 10 has been implanted. They're using this for food. They're doing genetic experiments. The unfortunate thing about these experiments is they experiment with us when we're alive. When they do take us, just as they do the cattle, in order to get the genetic material, the hormones, and the enzymes, you must be alive when they cut this out, or it's not suitable for their purpose. that's been mutilated, you can be quite sure that it's been very painful, and the same for human beings. When they core your rectum and cut your testicles off or core your eyes out, it's always done when the person is alive. It has to be alive for the experiment to work.
Next, Miranda Parks, a qualified medical hypnotherapist and biofeedback expert who has spent years working with abducted American citizens.
First of all, they said there's a city underground, and there are several vats of amniotic fluid with human body parts, embryos, and animals that are like cows that are just floating around all together in one big vat. But there are surgery rooms where there are these little gray type of individuals. They're kind of a clone species that they have conveyed to me, but they're like robots. They have gotten, as a matter of fact, they were telling me that we have learned how to clone and do all of our, quote, scientific advancement through them. But the problem is that the grays have cloned themselves so much that, from what I understand, they're like a dying species, and they're in total fear of completely dying off altogether because they've abused their technology to the point where they have chosen not to give any credit to the inside of the person, meaning the spirit, the heart. They are in tremendous need of DNA. They can actually photograph our DNA and reproduce us. That's what was apparent to the patients, was that they're doing this against our will. And then I asked them, why is it such a big secret? And they said, because our government's afraid we're at war, intergalactic war. These people have taken us over, and our government can't do anything about it. The only thing they think they can do is protect us from it by letting us be ignorant. And that's not compassionate at all, because if we had knowledge, we would know how to counter-attack all this. That's what they're protecting us against. But they don't care if we're abducted and taken away. As long as the banks are still functioning and we still have money, that seems to be the first concern here. And the law has said that our government has made a contract that we will exchange biological material for their high technology.
And now, the direct testimony from William Cooper, who served in the U.S. Air Force from 1961 to 1965 in the Strategic Air Command, and then from 1965 to December of 1975 as a petty officer in the U.S. Navy. He was attached to Naval Security and Intelligence in Vietnam and served as a member of the intelligence briefing team to the Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet, Admiral Bernard Corey. This means it was Mr. Cooper's responsibility to read through all of the thousands of pages of classified documents that would come through internal naval security and then prepare a clear, concise briefing for the Admiral on what he needed to know. This does make Mr. Cooper uniquely qualified to know what he's talking about. Since he left the service, he's filled the position of Executive Director of three colleges in the state of California. Here is William Cooper.
During this participation on the intelligence briefing team, I came across a document called the Branch Blue Book Report Number 13 and a file called the Majesty File. At the time that I saw these documents, I was participating in the military service, and it was classified above top secret with the MAGIC classification, which meant Magi controlled. Magi is the Majestic Agency for Joint Intelligence, and it is the organization, very, very secret military intelligence organization, that controls all the operations with UFOs in the alien race that lives on this earth. I was extremely shocked. I had a hard time dealing with this within myself. I did keep this information secret for approximately 16 years before I came out publicly and revealed my knowledge on this subject. And I've done so for several reasons. One, what is happening is illegal and is against the Constitution of the United States. Number two, many people have been killed, maimed, mutilated, kidnapped,
behavior. I thought it was my duty to step forward and tell the public what I know. There is a top secret organization called Majesty. Under Majesty, there is the project overview, which is called Grudge. Also under Majesty is a group known as Majestic 12 or MJ-12, which is a study group. Also under Majesty is a group known as Magi, which is a Majestic Agency for Joint Intelligence. Under Grudge, which prepares all the projects, there is Project Aquarius, which is responsible for all communications, understanding of, and compilation of history of the aliens and the aliens of the Earth. Under Project Aquarius comes Project Plato, which was the project in charge of establishing diplomatic relations with the aliens. This has been done. There is a treaty between the United States government and the Soviet nation. Aliens do exist. There are underground bases. Flying saucers are real. It's a very dangerous situation. It's illegal. It's against the Constitution. And something needs to be done about it.
And next we hear from Bill English, the son of an Arizona state legislator and former captain in the Green Berets. English is no stranger to the UFO phenomenon. In Vietnam, he was member of a special forces investigative team that went in to retrieve a B-52 that was forced down by a UFO, killing all occupants. Communications had been received from the B-52 before it went down to the effect that it was under attack by a UFO, a large light. The plane was found intact, sitting in the jungle. There was no swath indicative of a crash landing. Only the bottom of the fuselage showed any damage. There was no damage to the underside of the engine pods. Although the plane was completely intact, the entire crew had been mutilated. Later, English was assigned to the Royal Air Force's listening post north of London as an information analyst. In the course of his duties, he was asked to prepare an analysis of the Grudge Blue Book Report 13. Here is Bill English.
I want it on record that what I'm about to say right now is the absolute truth, and that if anything happens to me, it is because of this. 1977, while working for the United States government in Europe, I saw some documents that the government has denied existed for almost 30 years. And the government document was Project Grudge Blue Book number 13, a report that has never existed according to the government. In that report, I saw detailed evidence, photographs of aliens, alien autopsies, alien crash sites, alien material that had been recovered by the government. I saw reports and photographs of human mutilations, cattle mutilations. I saw detailed photographic evidence as to the existence of an alien life form of some type. Based on that evidence, I believe it. I believe that the United States government is lying to the public and has been lying to the public from the very beginning. I believe the United States government or factions of the United States government are acting treasonously against the Constitution of the United States. I believe that the United States government has actively tried to squash those few of us try to make the public aware of what is going on. They have taken upon themselves to separate families, to discredit, in some cases kill, those few of us who have been able to see what is going on. And they have the inherent ability, because of our social economic system today, to ruin a person's life. And I know because I'm living proof of it.
And then there are thousands and thousands and thousands of cattle that have been mutilated across the Midwest, as well as numerous witnesses that have seen UFOs in the vicinity of these mutilations.
One man looked out of his window at night just before he went to bed, and a horse was standing out there. He got up the next morning, sat down the bear, quit nothing, glanced out, and the horse had been mutilated. Right there, it was in the summertime. They had they had a house and two trailers where people lived in, and they all had their windows open. They had dogs around the place. No one heard any dogs barking. No one heard a thing. And that was right up by the house.
Whenever you're ready, just go right ahead. You can talk and describe your experiences. It's Sunday. Me and Mark was driving around checking the cows. Come upon a cow that was dead. They cut the nose off, tongue was out, the sex organs were gone. Why? One brother said it must have been from a sex cult from the university. Out here messing around, I says. Probably is. I says, we'll catch him yet.
Okay, Pat, you're doing fine. I'd like to have you now turn your attention to the evening that you and Mark were looking at that craft. We're looking through the scope.
I said, let's get the hell out of here. I said, that star's coming. I said, either that or my eyes are bad. He says, it's coming. Change from a pure white to an orange. I said, Mike, picking up a cow. I said, yeah. Hear that cow? Weird. Back of my neck. Hair on the back of my neck was straight up.
Now the next day, you said you drove over there?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What do you find when you drive over?
Oh, we didn't go over there till 10 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We waited till it was damn good daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, we weren't taking a chance. We went and looked all over along the side of the hill. All we found was another cow in 2 miles, just a lone calf, bawling for its mom. I said, they took her. Mm-hmm. We never found her. Never did find her.
And in all of the thousands and thousands and thousands of mutilations that have been found across the Midwest, where specifically the blood was drained from the animal with no vascular collapse, an eye removed, an ear removed, the tongue removed down all the way into the throat, the sexual organs removed, and the rectum cored out in a plug. And all of this is accomplished with highly advanced laser surgery, something that we are not yet capable of doing in the field. And no human being has ever been caught or prosecuted in all of the tens of thousands of mutilated animals that have been found across the Midwest. We are in possession of CAT scans, which show implants placed on both sides of the pituitary in an abductee victim.
Well, we ran out of time on that one, so we'll continue on next week.